I freeze. I'm Batman.
Joy get him!
I know, right?
I am the law!
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
Moonfall is ready!
Comic zombie.
All right, we're going to talk about something today that is oftentimes a little bit frustrating, and that's comic book video games. We've got a list of like our favorite and our least favorite, not necessarily best and the worst, because there's a lot of them we have not played, whether just we never got around to it, or they are, you know, very obviously going to be garbage. Like, for instance, the Halle Berry Catwoman movie that nobody talks about had an adaptation. Obviously, we did not play that, so it's not going to be on the list.
Yeah, we also, as we were trying to come up with which titles to talk about, we realized that there was an Aquaman game from, I want to say, the early 2000s.
Yeah, we never even played it.
Yeah,
we
I never even heard about this game. And it, what sucks is it was like the cool Aquaman from... was it
Peter David?
Yeah,
like the pirate hair, the hook hand.
Yeah,
the cool one.
So it seems like it could have been a cool game, but then we looked at screenshots and we're like, oh no.
Oh God.
Oh shit.
Yeah. It looks really bad. And
it was like a 3D game before they should have been making 3D games.
And much like 3D games that were being made long before they were made, it was an Aquaman game made 15 years before Aquaman was considered cool. So it's a little tough.
My ability to talk with fish is of no help, Wonder Woman.
Nothing can save you now, super fools.
Before we really dive into this topic, I just wanted to point out there's a new Avengers game coming out. Did you see the trailer?
Dude, it looks incredible. I've actually seen like the gameplay footage.
Oh my God.
Where the action like segues from one Avenger to the other in like the most cinematic, seamless way I've ever seen. Like, I'm so excited for this game. It looks incredible.
What's so cool about that is it's the kind of thing that I never would have thought of ahead of time, but now I saw it, I was like, that's how you do an Avengers game.
Yes. It's one of those things where I was always kind of like, if you're going to do an Avengers game with like next gen technology, you almost have to just do like a side scroll or old school.
Yeah.
Because like any other version, like an MMO or whatever, it wouldn't necessarily work the way you kind of hope it would.
Yeah.
But with something like this, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, of course.
Yeah. Cause you're really focusing on the characters when their powers come into play at the best possible time.
Right. So now we just have to wait for them to do a Justice League game, and so we can finally get Superman not sucking.
We can only hope. You know, they keep having these rumors every few years that Rocksteady, the guys that did the Arkham games, are going to tackle either a Superman game or a Justice League game.
Ugh.
It hasn't seen the light of day yet, but I'm still holding out hope, because as far as I'm concerned, there hasn't been a good Superman game yet.
There really hasn't. I would say, no, you know, which, what I think that's a little bit of a misnomer, because there's one that's, I wouldn't say it's good in like the way you would be like, oh, it's award worthy or anything like that, but it's super entertaining, and that's the Death and Return of Superman.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah,
I like that. I definitely remember the box art on that one.
Yeah,
it was
with
pretty
Doomsday's
sweet.
Doomsday's fist
like, punching through the Superman,
fisting
symbol.
Through the blood on it and stuff. And it was actually really fun. You got to play as Superman himself, and you got to play as the four replacement Superman. It was entertaining. It's certainly, like, you know, it's a Super Nintendo game, and it's like a mid-90s, so it was
a beat-em-up, but there were some good beat-em-ups around it. Like, even the Power Rangers game was a lot of fun.
It wasn't that bad,
So
it's one of those things
good.
Where, like, it's not going to be anything where you're like, this is the greatest thing ever, but if you like beat-em-ups, and you like side-scrollers and everything, and you like Superman, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But, of course, then there's the other ones.
Oh, man. And we'll get into those.
So today we thought we'd switch a little bit. And rather than doing like our top 10 favorites, we decided we're each going to take 5 of our favorites and 5 of our least favorites.
So top 5, top bottom?
Yeah. Or
wait, no. Oh, sorry. Top 5, bottom 5?
Yeah. We'll call it, top 5, bottom 5. There we go. I like that. So I guess we'll start with our worst, because we want to end on a positive note, because these worst are really bad. So my number 5 is Batman Forever, and I normally keep away from movie adaptations because just in general, movie adaptation games of anything suck, superhero or not, comic book or not. But this one's really bad. It was like right when they got into that era where like the Mortal Kombat technology was popular. So Street Fighter, the game, or Street Fighter, the movie, the game.
But it was like photorealistic.
Yeah, it was kind of like mocap a little bit where they would take like, I think it was individual photos.
Yeah.
And they would like animate them.
It was like a GIF.
Yeah.
It's like you're playing a GIF.
So they did that with the Batman Forever very poorly. And it's a shitty movie, yes, but the game is just unplayable. The controls are wonky as hell.
Yeah.
It's stiff. It's not responsive. Yeah. The damage is inconsistent. Like, it's just not fun. It's not fun.
And what sucks is, okay, so I played that game, and I enjoyed it, but it was glitchy, which is what really bothered me, because I couldn't get past the second level. It turns out, I found out years later when I was like looking this up, I was like, why couldn't I ever get past that level? Turns out no one could, because the game was broken.
I don't think I even got to the second level.
It's sort of like in Castlevania 2, where like you can't get past this
unless
one
you
part.
Have a Nintendo power.
And you have to have the bloodstone and kneel
in the corner
and
of the swamp.
It's like really obscure and like no one would figure that out.
Yeah.
Apparently, you have to use your grappling hook at one point, and the way to do the grappling hook, they never explain. It's not in the instruction booklet. You just have to kind of figure it out, but it's like this combination of weird buttons. It's like up, left. It's like the code, you know, the
for Contra. Up, down.
The Konami code. That. But like, why would Batman's grappling hook be that complicated?
It should be like R.
I think because it was made for Super Nintendo or something, but then they ported it over to Sega Genesis and they had less buttons to deal with.
I gotcha. So yeah, they had to make it like A B A B B C.
Yeah. So I just remember
being excited because I was like, well, the movie sucked, but maybe the game will be cool. And like the screenshots on like the back of comic books or like in dating myself, but Electronic Gaming Monthly or GamePro or whatever.
I used to love those. Yeah.
Yeah. They looked
now we
cool.
have the internet
and it had Robin in it, and I like Robin, so I was excited. True. And then I played it and was not excited anymore. What's your number five?
So my number
five, your number five and your worst.
Oh, here we go. Yes. So my number five has to be the Hulk movie game. And I want to really specify that this is the 2003 version.
The Eric Bana, Ang Lee.
Yeah, the Ang Lee movie, which is also not great.
Like, it's very divisive.
It
has some cool moments in it.
That's what I was going to
say. It's very boring.
It was one of those movies that didn't know what it wanted.
And the game doesn't either.
And the game doesn't either, yes. You play as Banner for most of the game, which right away should have been a red flag.
Honestly, even if there's only one level where you play as Banner, you screwed up. Like,
well, the thing
unless the whole point of the level is to like get to the one part of the lab where like someone shoots you, and then you can come up, you know, turn to the Hulk and rampage through the level, and wreck everything. Then you're like, I feel better after that stupid sneaking around for 10 minutes,
which sounds great, but instead you're sneaking around and you get caught with some security guard with a flashlight. He doesn't even have a weapon.
Yeah, he's just like, you there, and you're like, oh, I died.
And then it goes game over and
heart attack.
It doesn't make sense within the character. Like that game was awful. It was so bad.
Yeah, it's just as annoying as like escort missions or something where you don't really, you're just like, this isn't what I want to do.
Yeah.
All right, so my number four on my five worst comic book video games is going to be the NES Silver Surfer. And I personally love the Silver Surfer. When I was growing up, he was one of my five favorite characters.
He's a great character. He's very underrated.
Loved them so much. Yeah. I grew up reading like the book that like Jim Starlin and those guys were doing with like Ron Lim on the art, and I just loved it.
Yeah.
And the game came out, and it had been out for a while by the time I'd ever played it. But, and I wasn't looking for like a great Silver Surfer game.
Right.
I was expecting something like Gradius or Darius Twin or something. We're just flying around shooting at stuff. Yeah. And that is essentially what it is. But what they don't warn you is that it's mind-meltingly impossibly hard.
It was like Battletoads, right? Like,
oh, it's way harder than Battletoads. Like Battletoads is hard, but I can beat Battletoads at that race level.
Yeah.
But it'll take me 800 tries.
Right.
The Silver Surfer, who's like maybe the most powerful superhero Marvel has.
Yeah. He's up there with the Phoenix.
He gets killed by like tennis balls. Impossibly difficult. And as such, it becomes unplayable. When you can't even beat one level of it, and it's just like, what's the point? You stop playing it. So
exactly.
It's not that it's like a terrible game necessarily, but it's one of my like least enjoyable game experiences.
Yeah.
So I'll put it on my five worst.
For sure, man. For sure. So yeah, speaking of games that you can't get past the first level on, the Spider-Man X-Men game God for damn. Super Nintendo.
Fucking LJN. The makers of some of the worst
games
that
explains
ever.
It. Yeah. That explains it. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So in concept, this game should have been amazing.
It's a home run concept. There's yeah. no question about it. There's
yeah.
very few franchises in anything that are as well suited to video games as Spider-Man and the X-Men, which is pretty funny considering how many horrible games
They're
both
awful.
Spider-Man and the X-Men
They're
have.
Awful. Yeah, no. Oh, man, this takes the cake. And it's unfortunate because, I don't know, I feel like this is one of those weird ones where I sort of had nostalgia for it. But then if I went to go replay it, I would hate it.
Absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned that because I grew up, I had this game. I got it when it came out. Yeah. I was hyped as hell for it. I love those characters. Those are my two favorite properties in comic books is Spider-Man and the X-Men. I was very
you
excited.
Owned it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I rented this game, and I rented it like six times.
I played the shit out of this game.
It frustrated me so much that I couldn't get past the Spider-Man
Here's the thing.
Level.
From what Sorry. I understand, and this is, I just say from what I understand, because yeah. I could beat the first level, and I could beat some of other people's first levels, but I couldn't beat...
The Cyclops one was kind of cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't. Well, none of them were kind of cool. Wolverines was the only one I found like tolerable. I could beat both the Wolverines.
Yeah,
But Gambit's was, you had to like run away from a giant ball.
What?
And it was just, like,
yeah,
really
what was
stupid.
That about?
Storms, the storm... Storms are the worst.
It was like an Aquaman level.
It's,
it didn't
no,
make any sense.
It was very similar to the NES TMNT game.
Right. Oh,
with the infamous water level with the seaweed and the bombs. It was a lot like that. It's almost impossible.
That's unfortunate.
But yeah, that, you're totally right. The game, it should have been great. And it's just, it had that cool intro with the comic book panels.
Right.
And
yeah.
then like from there,
so
it's like,
promising.
All right. That
oh,
was all
Arcade
the fun
was the villain, which made a lot of sense for, you know, video
And they
games.
Had, each level had, like, a different, like, Wolverine had, like, an apocalypse level. Cyclops fought a Sentinel.
Oh, yeah, that's Spider-Man true.
Spider-Man fought, oddly enough, Nastir, who's one of the demons from the Inferno storyline. So it's like, why? What?
Yeah,
okay.
It was a lot of deep cuts.
But
references.
It was cool, and, in theory. And then
theory.
The game happened.
That's the key here, for sure. What's your number three?
Number three. I'm going to say The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And by this, I should clarify, because Spider-Man has a lot of really great games under his belt, one of which is Spider-Man 2, based off of the Sam Raimi movie with Dr. Octopus. It's a fantastic game that was only recently topped, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But Amazing Spider-Man 2 is based off the less successful Andrew Garfield Amazing Spider-Man. And this game is trash.
How does it compare to the movie, though?
All right, so the movie's, like, it's bad, but it's watchable.
Yeah,
it's right? This game is so bad, you can't even play it. It's glitchy.
It's like they didn't finish it.
The camera is a major problem.
Yeah.
The fight mechanics are horrible. It's really, really bad. I don't really know what else to say about it. It's awful. It has, like, unrecognizable locations in New York and stuff. Just really, it seems like lazy. It feels rushed.
Well, and especially since we had so many good Spider-Man games prior
that's
to
the
that.
Thing. Like, you have so much good to go off of, and then you follow up with, like, this, you know, I don't know. It's like opening, like, three straight awesome presents on your birthday, and then the fourth one's, like, an overdue parking ticket someone wrapped up for you. And you're like, why would you do this to me? And that's kind of, like, what Amazing Spider-Man 2 is.
Yeah. All right, so my number three, this was kind of tough, but I think I'm going to have to go with the Atari Superman game.
Oh, yeah. I had this one, too. This is a classic.
The reason I say this choice is tough is because there's so many bad Superman games.
Ironically, there's not a lot of Superman games, period.
There really
aren't. There's, like, four.
There's, like, one per generation, I think.
Maybe, yeah. Like, I'm shocked that we didn't get a lot more than we did, but you had, like, the Atari one. One we're going to get to later.
The
Super Nintendo one we already mentioned. And I, for the life of me, I can't think of any other ones. There's got to be. Oh,
Superman 64.
Superman Returns.
Oh, yeah. That
was really bad,
that was
too.
Wretched. And what sucks about that is it looked like it had a lot of potential.
You know what? I think
the scope of the game was great.
But, you know, I would almost say that that's worse than this one simply because the technology was so much higher.
Yeah.
Superman for Atari is really bad, even for an Atari game. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you're this little pixelated
Clark
Kent.
You might be right.
And you're trying
it's
to get to
shitty.
The phone booth. Yeah. And then once you become Superman, you're just, it's like a flying level, but you're like running into buildings and dying.
You can't really do
it.
Yeah, you're right. Like, you really can't do much of anything.
Not to mention, it's an Atari game. Most of those were pretty bad.
Yeah, what, like 4-bit? I mean, yeah, it's basically just, you're basically polygons. Just, not even, you're polygons, you're just not squares. Even,
yeah, you're basically just using your imagination and filling
it's almost,
in.
It's almost like a DOS game.
But see, that was kind of cool with the best Atari games, like Adventure. Like, use your imagination, but it was like, in a good way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or they just kept it simple. Where yeah, it's that's very the thing. Clear what was happening.
I think that's the problem with a game like this. They were just complicating things way too early. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think
the technology what probably happened is they probably had somebody like the development stage that was a big fan of Superman.
Yeah.
Like, we got to do this.
Yeah.
And we got to do this. And they got to do this. And they're like, we have the technology for like a third of one of those, but we'll give it a shot.
And I just imagine like that guy's face like just dropping. Yeah, as he's like realizing, like,
oh,
like I should just made a maze or something. Just made like a Pac-Man ripoff.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's like collecting kryptonite for some reason. That doesn't even make
Why
sense.
Why does Superman a circle? He just has a cape on.
And there's just like it's the Waka Waka
with a cape. Yeah. Banka, 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 banka. My number two is probably the most disappointed I was ever. As a kid, like as far as in a video game, and I had a lot of disappointment in video games because I had an NES, I had a lot of LJN games and the like, and shitty licensed games. So you get really excited about
Ghostbusters,
like,
anyone?
Yes, good example. You get very excited about like this thing that you love becoming a game, and the ad was always like, you have beat a great game. Like,
yeah.
Yes, I have. It's called Super Mario Brothers.
It was like a manifesto at the end. Like, yeah, some, like... awful.
This one was, again, I've repeated a few times. I'm a huge X-Men fan. I love the X-Men. So my number two is the Uncanny X-Men for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And it's really a bummer because the cover art is like really great. It looks like the Pride of the X-Men animated series.
Yes.
It's like the highly detailed animated looking artwork. Oh, and it's got Colossus and Cyclops and Wolverine, Australian Storm Wolverine. And Nightcrawler. And it's got even the cover has like the little box in the corner with their heads in it.
Yeah.
Like a comic book cover.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love that.
So it's like everything looked right.
Yeah.
And then you play the game.
Just the delivery.
And it's like one of those overhead shot games.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hilariously horrible. It's one of those games where anytime I can dig out my old NES and the games and stuff and I play it for somebody who's like, you have an X-Men game on the NES? And I just start laughing like, oh, you're in for a treat.
Yeah.
And you just see their face drop as soon as they start playing. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Because it's unrecognizable as the X-Men. It's like they made this weird mix of like just...
most of the money they spent on the game was the just hiring art. Jim Lee to do the cover.
It wasn't even Jim Lee. It was pre-Jim Lee. But
Chris Claremont. Who's his artist?
Byrne. Yeah. I don't know. It was the 80s, so it could have been Byrne.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but it was... It was very recognizable as the X-Men.
Yeah.
But the game itself wasn't.
I
said, it's an overhead view. The characters don't look like the characters. Like, nothing works.
Yeah.
Characters disappear from the screen and then reappear, like, on top of you. And you're like, what the? They're not teleporting. It's just glitchy.
I wonder if it was, a Doki Doki Panic kind of situation with, like, Super Mario 2.
That was always
Super
my
Mario
thought.
Brothers 2.
It wasn't even an
X-Men game. They just slapped X-Men on the title. Oh, what's up?
Just FaceTiming us.
Totally. Let's do it. Okay. Yeah. Welcoming Erica to the podcast.
Erica, you're on the podcast.
Hi, baby. How's Chelsea doing?
Where are the bunnies? The bunnies? They're outside.
Oh, right? They're in the yard.
The bunnies are out back
sleeping. They're sleeping. Yeah, it's late.
I'll have him send you pictures.
Where's the kitty?
There's one right here.
Hey, here's one right here.
There's one right there.
There's one right here. What?
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 I don't know. What'd you say?
I don't know where Chelsea went.
Oh, no.
You lost Chelsea?
Oh, no.
You lost Chelsea?
I miss you.
I miss you too, baby. I'm going to go finish this podcast. I'm going to head home afterwards. I'll call you later, okay?
Okay. I love you.
I love you too. Have fun.
Later.
Okay, what are we on?
All right,
I just finished X-Men. Yeah. Your turn. What's your number two, Eric?
My number two. So we talked about Spider-Man. We talked about Superman. We talked about the X-Men. One of the worst games ever, in my opinion, is a Batman game called The Rise of Sun Tzu. And I'm just laughing as I'm saying it because it sounds stupid. What's up?
Wasn't he designed by Jim Lee?
Something like that. Yeah. I remember they made a big deal about this game. They promoted the hell out of it. And it sucks.
It's like an adaptation of the New Adventures of Batman and Robin, right?
The
animated series follow-up to the animated series, which is a really good show.
It was. And I gotta say, there was a couple pretty decent animated series-based games prior to this.
True.
There was a Super Nintendo one. There was this game on GameCube called Batman Vengeance, which wasn't perfect, but it had some really cool stuff in it.
It's a fun beat-em-up.
Yeah. You got Mr. Freeze, Mark Hamill as the Joker, and all that, you know, which was kind of cool. And then this game comes around, and it's, like, five steps below that. Like, they went in the wrong direction. They were kind of, you know, Batman Vengeance has things in it that were kind of leading to what Arkham would become. Like, they were on the right track, and then they took a detour with this game. It is so bad. It feels like a really bad NES game, except it's on GameCube.
Yeah, PS2, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
PS2, Xbox, original Xbox, and the GameCube.
So the mechanics felt like they were NES game, like a bad one. And the graphics looked like early Nintendo 64. And it was just like,
it's probably just never got finished, right?
It felt very unfinished. Yeah. A lot of the characters you fire, just stock characters, it's like fighting the same dude like 60 times in a row. Which
gets really visually boring.
Oh, it sucks.
Especially when you're just tapping like
the backgrounds.
X.
Yeah. And to top it off, like this character that they built up, this new character, there wasn't anything to him. There was no storyline in the game.
His thing was like, he's Asian.
Yeah. It was like a
okay.
Fu Manchu.
That's fine. Is that why he's bad?
It was like a really bad DC ripoff of the Mandarin or something, but like not even done well. They might as well have had Ra's al Ghul as the villain.
Why
the
wouldn't
game.
They just do that?
Why not? It would have been.
Isn't
actually...
he supposed to be like a Ra's al Ghul ripoff?
Yeah,
like...
he kind of is. Like,
so just can you use
like
him?
Just use Ra's al Ghul because you haven't used him yet, you know? But
this time he fights the Jokester. it's like God damn it!
Just speaking of this one, there is a history of really bad Batman games.
Batman's are always like it's either really good or just utter trash. You don't get a whole lot of in between. There's
I don't think they knew what they were doing with the character. There's the NES Batman game, which is kind of cool, but it's also kind of shitty. It's not a good Batman game.
No,
you know,
it's just an NES game.
Yeah,
it just happens to have Batman skins on it. That's what it is.
Yeah, because it's actually a shoot 'em up,
but
he's
time,
like throwing batarangs like
it
rapidly.
Was fun because it was the best thing.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, yeah, like we didn't have anything better to compare it to.
Oh, that was crap.
Yeah, totally. Anyways, moving on.
So my worst, my absolute worst, and I'm certain I'm not going to be surprising anybody with this one because I think this is universally recognized as the worst superhero game, much less comic book game, much less maybe even video game, is Superman 64.
Yep.
And this game, I don't know how else to put this. It's unplayable. I mean, and that's not to say like it's so bad that I don't want to play it. It's to say it does not function. It does not work as a game. The controls don't work. Like, it's all flying through rings and crap.
Who signed off on this? It's like a tutorial, but the tutorial doesn't end.
It looks like somebody made, like, a really basic, spec program.
Yeah.
So they can show, like, here's, like, a real loose mechanic of how we want him to move. And, like, we built this little, like, ring system to show, like, how he could fly, but we haven't, perfected it yet.
Right.
And they were like... are the backgrounds total foggy areas where you can't see anything, but like the building right in front of you is there? Oh yeah, sure. It looks awful. Like the worst of the 64. Yes. Put it out right now. Right now. Put it out. And they're like, okay. And they smack some animated series animation on the cover.
Yeah.
And people are like, Superman. And they bought it. And then like the first responses came back and it was like worldwide. It was like, do not buy this fucking game.
Yeah. It's broken. It's shitty. There's no plot. There's literally no plot.
Oh, no.
Plot
and that's
game.
Not a joke is to say, like, there's no plot and then, like, Batman and Robin has no plot.
Yeah.
There isn't a plot.
Like, there's no reason.
There's no plot in the way, like, Tetris doesn't have a plot.
But not cleverly, like Tetris. There's no character motivation for Superman to be flying through rings.
There's just nothing. It's just you start the game and it's like, there's Superman and you're flying and there's rings and it doesn't work and you throw it away and you go cry to your mom.
and you're in therapy for the next 20 years.
Yeah, and you stop playing superhero games until like 20 years later.
And then you're staring down the barrel of a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, oh, God, this got dark.
Yeah. Then you're drinking. Yeah, but that's my least favorite.
Yeah.
My most embarrassing example is Superman 64. Yeah. What about yours?
So this game is sort of controversial choice. It's Comic Zone for the Sega Genesis.
It's a really shitty game.
I really want to quantify this because it was kind of a cool concept. Like, I think that's what let me down so much is that going in, I was expecting like the coolest game ever because the mechanics of being able to jump between panels of a comic book was so brilliant. They haven't really done it since, I don't think. But
I think because this was so bad, they were like, nope.
Well, yeah, it's the idea of it was great. The execution was not. The art was kind of cool. It looked like an Image comic come to life or something. Like
early
90s.
Yeah, no, I need the original 7 Image.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was bad. It was just really hard to get.
I wouldn't say it's unplayable because it does function. But
it functions.
It's not just fun. Like, it's not fun at all.
There's not a way to choose difficulty. I think that's maybe the problem. It's on like the extreme hard.
It's on like Battletoads level difficulty.
Yeah, exactly. So it just.
Or Silver Surfer level.
And it doesn't have a save feature. It does not have a save feature.
Like Battletoads.
So right there.
Yeah, or Silver Surfer for that matter.
Yeah.
And so some of these are just like punishingly hard.
Do not recommend.
Yeah. Well,
now that we're
10
sad and
trash-ass horrible games, yeah, now that we're depressed, let's shift over to our top five, because these we really love. Eric, what's your number five?
So my number five is probably going to be Injustice,
man, I can't believe I forgot Injustice. Yeah. Those games are so good.
Yeah, they're really solid. But especially as a DC fan, it was like, I'm not going to say it's the first time we got a good DC game, but it's not far from it.
The story's really cool, too.
It is. And it's almost like an Elseworlds tale.
Yeah.
Because you got like an evil Superman.
It's like a, more fucked up Kingdom Come.
Yes. Yes.
It's
exactly.
Awesome. It's really awesome.
The game starts out like that. Like the Joker, I think, kills Lois Lane or something.
Something similar.
Something
I don't recall
like
the inciting incident
so
either,
Superman
which is ironic.
Is
I usually
like,
remember that really well.
Right
I remember
off,
the sequel with the Brainiac attacks.
Injustice 2 might
be even better.
The opening cutscene of the game, of the first game, is basically Superman losing his shit
and he
killing
punches,
the Joker.
He punches a hole through him.
Through the Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I was like,
I think he kills everyone at the Daily Planet.
So, like, the stakes are super high immediately.
Yeah.
And that really draws you in. The storyline's cool. The acting's really good. The voice acting. I think they brought Kevin Conroy back as Batman, right? He's in a lot of the games. But so I really liked the DLCs for this one because the characters
Zod,
they had Zod
the Martian
and they had
Manhunter.
They had the skins of like that sounds horrible.
Like Red Sun.
Yeah, they had alternate skins.
Injustice 2 is the Blackest Night, so you have like Black
Lantern
versions of people.
Wasn't Atrocitus in that game?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dude, Injustice 2 is dope.
There's so many cool deep cuts characters.
And that's
Lobo is one of the ones
he's not,
in the
He's
first
in the first
game.
One, not the second one. Injustice 2, you can play as the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
It's fucking cool.
One of my favorite things of those alternate skins was when you play... So, they had the Hal Jordan Green Lantern, but one of the alternates was the John Stewart Green Lantern, and they even did the animated voice.
Yep, for Lamar.
Even though it's like a couple lines here and there, just for the I thought that was
they
so brilliant.
They did the same thing. I don't remember the voices, but I know with if you the Flash, they have like a Jay Garrick skin and a reverse Flash skin.
Alternate.
And the voices are different for both of them.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, fun game. Real quick, one more thing about Injustice. It was by the creators of the Mortal Kombat games.
Yes.
If you're a fan of those
Ed
games,
Boon.
You will love this game.
Yeah, it's really great.
All right, what was your number five?
Number five, I would say, has got to be Marvel Ultimate Alliance. The first Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Yeah. I was a huge, huge fan of the X-Men Legends games.
Oh, those are fun.
They're like Baldur's Gate. This is too.
Yeah.
An above like aerial view, four characters at a time. The difference is with the X-Men games, it was just the X-Men. And this one, it's everybody. And
including the X-Men.
Including a lot of the X-Men, yeah. There was a version that I didn't have. I think it was on like the Xbox that I didn't have where you could download like Cable and Carnage and some other characters. The Hulk.
That's awesome.
And I was super jealous that I didn't have that version. But this game is really cool. It has a ton of characters. You can combine them in different ways to get like different perks. Has different skins. You can play as like Beta Ray Bill instead of Thor, or like the U.S. Agent instead of Captain America. Yeah. And if you've been listening to these podcasts, you know that I'm a huge mark for U.S. Agent and Beta Ray Bill. but it was really, really, really cool. And they had these really both of the X-Men Legends games and the first Ultimate Alliance had these really I don't remember if 2 did, but Ultimate Alliance 2 kind of sucks. But they had these like rest points basically where you can kind of go talk to different characters and kind of restock items and stuff. And they have like a trivia machine where you go answer like Marvel Comics trivia.
I remember that. I aced that thing.
Yeah, and you get them right. your characters level up like 12 levels and you get all this new shit.
I got so OP because of that freaking Marvel trivia.
I would be like struggling and then I'd go to one of those and then I would just work like the next three stages.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I totally forgot about that until you mentioned it.
And they didn't.
I love all those little features in
this game. I don't think it's in Ultimate Alliance 2, which is, to be honest, kind of inferior.
There was that cool mechanic where you could team up with characters on certain moves. But
Ultimate Alliance 1 is a cutscene with Galactus walking through the Skrull homeworld. And that's like the coolest shit ever.
Yeah.
And it has a scene with Nightcrawler teleporting around Dr. Doom's castle fighting Doombots with swords.
Yeah.
Like every cutscene in that game probably doesn't hold up that well now because it's like 15 years old. But at the time, maybe 10 years old, whatever. But at the time, it was like, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I loved it to death. They had Deadpool was a hidden character you could get.
Really? Oh, man. That's cool.
Or maybe he was actually in the game. I think Deadpool might have been in the X-Men Legends games a hidden character. Anyway, I'm getting my games mixed up. It's a lot of fun. It has a wide range of Marvel Comics characters. They have, like, really cool locations. Like, you fight in Hell.
Yeah.
Mephisto's Hell and, like, the Ghost Riders down there and everything. And
another cool thing about that game was it was, like, kind of like an RPG, kind of like RTS, because you, like, control different characters, right? Like,
yeah, you could switch between situations. I mean, really.
It's like, Wolverine's getting wrecked over here.
Yeah, I better switch over to Captain America and throw a shield over there and wreck everybody. Like Daredevil, the Blade. I mean, it was all over the place character-wise. It was great. It was
I loved making these, like, odd matchups.
Yeah.
Like Invisible Woman with, like...
Well, so they had all the alternate costumes, right? So I put, like, Wolverine in his brown suit, and I had, like, the Danny Ketch Ghost Rider and the Grey Hulk and Spider-Man. I normally had him in his black suit, and I had him with, like, those characters, and it had, like, a little bonus. But when I switched it to his red suit, I got, like, the full new FF bonus.
Yeah, definitely.
And that was cool. So I wrecked some house with those guys for a while. But you have, like, the Fantastic Four all on the same team. You get a big bonus for that. Or, like, all X-Men, you get a big bonus for that.
That's right. Yeah, that was cool.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
What would you say is your number four favorite?
Number four. Where's my list? Oh, here we go. Okay. Sorry. So we got another fighting game here. Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. And specifically that version. The Ultimate
with,
version.
Like, Nova and everything. Rocket Raccoon.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That game was sweet.
And I love all the Marvel vs. Capcom games, but the lineup on this game was so amazing. The levels were cool.
Not just from the Marvel side, but the Capcom side was really deep, too.
Yeah,
really
definitely.
Cool.
They had some Resident Evil.
The thing that always bums me out is they always have, like, Zero, but no Mega Man.
Yeah, what was that about?
What the fuck,
What was that about? I mean, you had Rocket Raccoon, but you didn't have Mega Man.
Mega Man? Like, are you serious?
He's, like, their most popular character.
Capcom, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, no, definitely.
But, yeah, that game's sweet.
This, between Injustice and Marvel vs. Capcom, I really want a Marvel vs. DC game.
Oh, dude, there's zero reason. Other than the fact that you now have Disney and Warner Brothers who don't want to cooperate on anything. But even before that, Marvel and DC never wanted to cooperate.
Yeah.
And it's it becomes
a question.
Well,
they did the crossover in the 90s.
Well, no, it was mid-2000s. Just like 2004.
Right? Oh, yeah.
That's right. But the reason that there's very few copies of that and then no reprint, no trade paperback, well, like one trade paperback printing, and that was about it, is because it's all about, like, determining rights to, like, who gets paid what for what and all that.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough to figure that out.
Yeah.
And I think it might be more likely in a video game, but, I mean, hell, it took us how long? Nintendo had to buy Sega for us to get Mario, or not buy Sega, but Sega had to go under and become a third-party licensor for us to get Mario and Sonic in the same game.
And that game sucked, by the way.
Oh, all those Olympics Mario Sonic games are garbage, but they're in them together.
Yeah, it's like, hey, finally.
Hey, Batman vs. Superman sucked, but there's a movie with Batman and Superman on screen together.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, that happened, didn't it?
Yeah, that did happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But you're 100% right. Marvel versus DC should 100% be a fighting game. It would be sweet, and everybody would buy it.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat. Why is that not a fighting game?
Right.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that should it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
One more thing real quick about Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about that game was playing... So you choose three characters, right?
And
you switch between them. Was that what it was? One of my favorite things was playing with the Phoenix, especially on Galactus, that last level, because if you use her just the right way, I think, like, you get her health down all the way, and she's, like, the last
character standing. She turns into Dark Phoenix.
And you just wreck everyone. Yeah. So I always
that was cool. That it wasn't was cool just like feature. Once you kill her, she turns Dark Phoenix.
No, it had to be very specific yeah. circumstances.
Yeah, yeah. And but if you did it right, was... she became like 10 times stronger.
Yeah, it was like awesome. it was like completing a fatality in Mortal yeah. Kombat. Yeah, you had to get it just right.
Or a combo. Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was cool.
All right. Sorry. So my number four. And I honestly can't believe I have it this low, but my number four is Arkham City. And again, we tried to keep it to like one per character. So like, otherwise I'd have like 5 Spider-Man games on here.
Yes.
But my favorite Batman game has got to be Arkham City. The Arkham series as a whole is just phenomenal. It's tremendous. Yeah. The voice acting, the direction, the gameplay, the level design, the puzzles, like all of it's great. I would say Arkham City is probably my favorite because it was the first one that really improved upon the formula that Arkham Asylum created, where it made it was Arkham Asylum, everything great about Arkham, they didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
But it was bigger.
It was.
And you could go, the gadgets were a little bit cooler.
It was
cooler.
Like a big chunk of the city. It was yeah, a big and chunk you were of in Gotham, Gotham, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it wasn't just was a big cool. chunk, it was a huge chunk.
Yeah, it was like a whole neighborhood, like a whole county.
Origins is great, and Arkham Knight is really like just tremendous, but I think City is... still my favorite. I really love that game. Yeah. It's really, really, really cool. And the storyline's awesome. Like,
the
Hugo Two-Face Strange
stuff is great. Yeah.
Yeah, really cool stuff, man. And all the stuff with Two-Face and Catwoman's really cool.
Do you ever play
the
DLC?
The fact that you can play as Catwoman
yes.
is really cool.
Yes.
That was cool. No, I love those games. I love them. And that's my favorite one of them.
And the whole thing with the Joker at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Not to give away.
And look, and they do what the
spoilers
Batman
for a game that's been
is.
Out for 10 years. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, no, definitely. Spoilers. They killed the Joker.
They killed the Joker in
but
that game.
Unlike the 1989 Batman, he's still a humongous presence. The next game's a prequel, so he's very heavily featured. Well, I don't know about very yeah. heavily, but he's in Arc Origins. He's yeah, in it.
I think they did a good but job with
that. But he's pretty heavily featured yeah. in Arkham Knight in some way, shape, or form because...
True.
Well, I play case. It. He's yeah. he's got like a bit of Joker venom in him, and he's yeah. like making him hallucinate the Joker,
which was kind of a cool way to bring him back.
And it's the Joker just taunting clever. You, and Mark Hamill yeah. really chewing scenery. It's
oh,
really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, no,
but
like
City's
that.
Still my favorite. I got to stick with City.
Yeah.
Look at all this new security.
How's a guy supposed to break out of here?
Don't be a stranger.
He surrendered almost without a fight. I don't like it.
At least he's back where he belongs.
It's over, Joker.
Over? Why, my dear delusional Dark Knight. It hasn't even begun.
All right, what's your number three favorite?
I'm going to go with Arkham Asylum. I know you just mentioned Arkham City,
yeah.
which is great. I love all those games.
Yeah.
But Arkham Asylum started it all.
It's probably the creepiest one, too.
It is, and I think that's what I like about it. Just
that,
the atmospheric...
That croc, well, the Killer Croc yes. environment is, oh my God, where you can't make any noise.
Yeah.
I had a heart attack about 10 times playing that level.
As much as I liked Arkham City, I think the experience of playing through the first Arkham Asylum for me was just so... revolutionary.
Yeah,
because like it felt like some of my favorite games, like Metal Gear Solid mixed with a little bit of Ocarina of Time, just mechanics wise.
I just remember thinking like, I can't believe they got a Batman game this cool,
yes.
this right.
And
like,
the fact
fighting
that
mechanics,
they well, and so many of the little details, because
oh,
like
yeah.
there were so many references to the comics.
Easter
the fact
eggs.
That yeah, and
we
you had so
the,
many villains, and they were
the
very
recordings,
cool.
the session recordings.
Yes.
You get insight into like these,
yes.
deep, like these.
Yeah.
I don't want to say D-level because they're exactly. big characters, but like they're not really featured in the story.
Well, like Calendar like, Man.
Yeah.
Like they would add something about him in there.
Yeah, and
I
like how all the games tie into each other. But Asylum really did a great job of laying the ground. Oh.
The Riddler.
You can't talk about Arkham
Riddles.
Asylum without talking about the incredibly creepy Scarecrow stuff.
Yes, that was the best part of that game.
Not just the levels where he's a giant, you got to like sneak around, which is always terrifying.
But the design
the,
of him was great.
But
with
the hallucination scenes.
Yes.
Like all of a sudden you're a little kid.
Yeah. What was that about?
And it's like it's raining inside. And there's yeah. garbage everywhere. And then you're in the alley with your parents' bodies. And
yeah.
then you're in like the morgue. And their body bags are flopping around. You're like, yes. what the hell is this?
Yes. Yeah. It was great. The only issue with that game is the way it ends, unfortunately.
Well,
it is,
I don't know if I have an issue with it because
fight.
It did set up what happened with
sure.
him. In
sure.
a cool way, but it does feel a little anticlimactic, and it's because I feel like they knew that the Joker has never been a physical match for Batman.
Well, which is fine. I actually would have been better off if it was just a more dramatic ending that you didn't, like, maybe you had to, like, click a button real quick to avoid getting stabbed by the Joker
yeah.
or something.
Or if it wasn't just, like a rooftop fist fight.
Yeah, it shouldn't, because, like, It was like fighting Bane over again. It was like fighting Bane all over again.
But now he makes jokes.
But yeah, and so it just felt wrong. It didn't feel true. It does.
You know, it doesn't feel like you're fighting the Joker at all. Yeah, and that's the problem with that scene. I totally agree with
and
you.
And I'm
that
fine
was my least
if
favorite part of the game.
I actually, and it's weird because you would think with a video game you want a really big climactic battle as the last part. But I think a more emotional ending would have been better. You know what I mean? Like
or psychological.
Psychological, yeah. Like it didn't have to be like a big challenging fight.
I feel like
you know,
it would have been better if you got doused with like a ridiculous amount of like scarecrow toxins.
And then the Joker starts messing with you. Would have been cool. And then you could have him be like big.
Yeah, but he's not like injecting himself with venom, which I just don't see as something he would do.
No, it doesn't make
sense.
But
the game's still super, super cool.
I'm not complaining. The voice acting's amazing.
Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill are unbelievable.
Yeah, that game works on every level except for the ending.
Yeah, and even then, it's not the worst thing.
No, it's just
a little bit of.
If you're gonna nitpick one thing, it's that.
Yeah. All right. So my number three, it sort of made it to the home consoles a little bit when the PlayStation 3 had it on their store briefly, but it's the X-Men arcade game.
Game's so great.
Specifically the 6-player one, where you can have every single Cyclops, Wolverine, Storm, Colossus, Nightcrawler, and Dazzler.
Which is one of the coolest lineups.
It's the pride of the X-Men cartoon made into a video game.
But Dazzler, really, guys?
I mean, it's the 80s. Dazzler was a popular character, man. Just... Like, I like Dazzler, but obviously I just like the X-Men. You could have put any fucking X-Men in there, and I'd have been like, sweet. And if it had made 5 years later, it would have been Jubilee, you know? Like,
yeah.
And it'd be like Jubilee. Really Jubilee. But Jubilee and Dazzler are very similar.
They are similar.
Well, visually, their powers are very
Dazzler's
different.
Dazzler's like more of like a disco version of Jubilee,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Jubilee's the mall rat version. Anyway, getting off the point, but the game is really fun. It's just a side-scrolling beat 'em up. It's nothing real special, but the graphics are really cool. The moves are fun. The level design's cool. You do like the Savage Land. You fight Sentinels all over the place.
Yeah.
And it has maybe one of my favorite like kind of shitty lines in a video game where Magneto says, "Welcome X-Men to die."
Yes, it's the best.
But it's like the bad guy team. It's like you fight like the Wendigo, the Blob, the White Queen, Pyro, Magneto, of course.
Oh yeah, of course.
Find an Asteroid M. You're trying to save Kitty Pryde and Professor X. Like, it's sweet. It's a good game.
Yeah.
And you get to like, it gave love to like Nightcrawler and shit. Like that never happened.
Yeah.
Storm got to do something cool. Like, it's a fun game. And I played it with my buddy. We replayed it through like the day they put it on the PlayStation store, and we played that shit like 5 times through. And you're playing online, so people are jumping in like crazy. And it
was
could tell everybody was just like having a blast.
Yeah,
man. It was a lot of fun.
That's a big nostalgia.
It came out
in
that same era of like Turtles in Time and like
the Simpsons arcade game. That was awesome.
And, which my buddy Greg, who you know, has the actual arcade cabinet in his house, by the way, for the Simpsons.
What?
Game. Yeah, he has it on free play.
Aren't we recording this over there?
Yeah, because we wouldn't be recording. But no, the X-Men arcade game was right up there with those two as far as like the coolest beat 'em up arcade games I thought we ever got. And
easily.
Yeah. And the home system isn't as great, of course. The graphics are exactly the same. But it's something about that big, wide 6-player cabinet with like the 3 screens linked together.
Oh, yeah.
That really, great. Like, there wasn't anything like it. And it was just so much fun. And it was at the arcade down the street from my house was within walking distance when I was like 11, which is the perfect age for that stuff. And I probably spent every dollar I got of allowance for like 2 summers on that game.
Yeah. All right. My number two is, how do I put this? It's not a game that a lot of people know about, and what's really unfortunate is you can't really get this game anymore. My number two is the Scott Pilgrim game.
This game was so much fun. I had it downloaded on my Xbox 360.
Same.
But then my apartment got broken into, my 360 got stolen, and I'm sure if I got it back I might be able to get it on my profile, but I just don't have a 360 anymore, so.
Well, I think like the rights to the game like got, I don't know. There was some weird issue.
So it might not be available
anymore.
They
never re-released it. I don't think it's available on the...
It's super fun,
I don't think you can download it anymore. Yeah, I kind of want to get, what's that, an emulator? Yeah, I want to get an emulator.
Just to play. Because
I'm sure you can find it somewhere on the internet.
It's,
you know?
It's a lot of fun.
I'd be willing to go to the dark web for this game. No, for sure. This game was amazing. Like you said, it's a beat-em-up.
It looks just like the comic book.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm such a huge fan of both the comic and the movie.
Yeah, oh,
and
yeah.
They incorporate elements of both. It's... What's really cool is they've got all these like little references, all these weird things that are usually in like RPGs and stuff. Like you go into the coffee shop and you got like a list of things.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's like a different espresso drinks, but they give you different power-ups.
Yeah.
Just the little details like that. And the fact that every time you kill someone, it's just like coins. A bunch of change.
Yeah, coins.
Just random like quarters and stuff.
It's awesome.
But like it adds up to actual money that you use to buy items in the game.
And I like and how you can play you, is, can, you play multiplayer.
Yes.
And the other player, you can play as Scott, online, Ramona, and Knives. And who's the other one? Is it Wallace?
Might be Wallace.
I think it's Wallace.
It was really random.
Which is
amazing.
Yeah. I would always play as Wallace if at all possible. No, I was playing.
Ramona was great.
Ramona was like, the hammer. And Knives is cool. But yeah. Scott, I always picked Scott just because he had the best like punch attacks.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, the animation was great because it looked like the comic come to life. But they included like... There was like warp tunnels, which was kind of cool because that was like a plot mechanic in the story at one point. You could pay off Scott's late fees at the video store.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it unlocked something. But...
Julie would show up. She had Julie worked at like every store.
Yeah. There was a whole
They're
level
called
that...
Job Scott.
Yeah. There was that whole level where you fight through the concert or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was that weird like Halloween party. You know,
There was
a lot of cool stuff in there.
A lot of snowballs and stuff.
And the soundtrack was awesome because it was so retro. It was, you know, like
8-bit.
That. Yeah, it was 8-bit.
But it's like really good 8-bit.
It was good 8-bit. Yeah, no, I love that game for so many reasons, but mostly because it's Scott Pilgrim.
So my number two, you could really pick anyone that you want out of this series, and I would be like, oh yeah, it's definitely on my list. I'm going to stick for this particular list here with season one, but it's the Telltale Walking Dead series.
Yeah, those are good.
The reason I'm sticking with season one is because I love, 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 love Clementine as a character.
Oh man.
She's one of my five or six favorite Walking Dead characters, period, in any medium. And I love me some Walking Dead.
So much happened in that game that I sometimes just assume it was in the comics or the show.
No, none of it.
But it's not. There,
no, some of the characters from the comics do show up in the game.
True. There's like...
But the reason I love season Herschel, one so much is because... Right. No, well, yeah, Herschel does show up. And so does Glenn.
Anyways.
is that while it's really great to play as Clementine in the later games and to show her like become like this totally capable badass chick... Great. I love that.
Yeah.
I love Clementine again. But in season one, she's so cute and not helpless because she's very brave.
Yeah.
But she's a child. She's a little kid. She's like six.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lee is a compelling character. His relationship with the other characters are compelling. And his journey in that game, I think, is really...
Yeah,
you don't see a lot of journeys like that in video games, and
like,
I'm not
maybe
no spoilers.
The Last of Us,
no, yeah, The Last of Us, dude, The Last of Us trumps Walking Dead. The Last of Us is a masterpiece.
It's good.
The Telltale Walking Dead games are a lot of fun, but they're laggy and they're glitchy at times.
But that first season, like you said, was awesome.
All of them are. They're all great. The Michonne spinoff is awesome.
Yeah,
seasons two and three are awesome. I haven't finished season four.
Yeah, I didn't get that far.
I got the first two episodes, and then Telltale went under for like two months.
I know.
But then thankfully it got finished, but I haven't played the new seasons yet.
Now, to be fair, I'm also not caught up on the show, not even close.
Yeah.
Like, I got to, what, season four?
Yeah, you're like 6 years behind.
Yeah, I suck at life.
They just started season 10. Oh, no. They're almost halfway done with season 10.
Oh, my God.
season 10's got like six episodes.
Oh, man.
But no, it's the Telltale Walking Dead games. They put a lot of effort into making these likable 3D, like well-rounded characters with real motivations.
Yeah.
And you really come to care about most of them or hate the other ones.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games where like, you can make a lot of decisions that impact how the story plays out.
Yeah, that's
so
the cool
characters
thing
live or die based off your decisions.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, you'll get stuck in a situation where two characters are being attacked at the same time, and you have to choose who lives and who dies. There's only one of them's getting saved.
True.
And it impacts how the rest of the story plays out.
Yeah.
It also impacts, if you keep the same game, how the sequels play out.
Mm. Good point.
So it's really cool, and the replay value is incredibly high. So I got to go. Telltale's Walking Dead is my number two.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. That's a really good one.
What's your number one?
So, you know, when we came up with this list, like the first thing I thought about was this game. I think
we'll probably have the same game chosen here. Yeah. Because we have a certain wall crawler who's been conspicuously absent from the best list. And I know we both feel the same way about this game.
It's definitely the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man.
Marvel Spider-Man for PlayStation 4, 100%.
Yeah.
It's this unreal game, how good this game is.
So, for me, it took everything that was awesome about the Arkham games and elevated it. And it's a great Spider-Man story. It rivals the movies.
I'll be honest with you. This is coming from somebody who likes all 7 Spider-Man movies to varying degrees. Like, there's not one I hate. Even Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3, which are the weakest, I still can watch those anytime.
Sure.
They're not good, but I can enjoy them.
Yeah.
But this story beats the shit out of all of them. Yeah. With the possible exception, maybe of Far From Home.
Oh, yeah. Homecoming is really good,
too. Or Homecoming.
Yeah.
They're both great.
Into the Spider-Verse is great, too.
Yeah, I'm talking live action. Spider-Verse is amazing. Spider-Verse is great. It's but awesome. This one, I think, beats all of them. Yeah. And the fact that Miles gets teased at the end is really
cool.
That
was cool.
And, all right, so I have a bit of a downer about this game, is that when I was just starting the third DLC, I got a call from my wife when I was at work one day that someone had broken into our apartment and robbed us. Broke both of all my TVs got broken, everything, but a bunch of stuff got broken and stolen. A bunch of stuff. But the thing that bummed me out more than anything was they took the PlayStation 4 and with it they took Spider-Man.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
That's a big bummer. Now I will replace it eventually. I've replaced pretty much everything else, but that was the big thing, is like I keep seeing all this new DLC. I don't know if it's new DLC packs, but like new skins come out. There's a ton of costumes in this game, and they go the most deep cut comic book costumes, movie costumes,
Scarlet cartoons. Spider.
No, that's not deep cut.
No, deep cut
is like the Ghost Rider Spider-Man
one.
Or like the Eric Larson Spider-Man Sinister Six story where he has like the robotics on his arm.
Right.
Like the goggle on his face.
I think they recently released like a Mangaverse one. I haven't checked it out.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I had.
They even had like the Jim Lee one that glows from like.
It wasn't Jim Lee, because Jim Lee hasn't worked in Marvel in 20.
Oh, no, not Jim Lee. Shit. No,
the
it wasn't.
The glowy one? Talking about like where the chest.
Yeah, no, not Jim Lee. Alex Ross.
Alex Ross? Yeah.
Alex Ross designed it.
Yeah. Alex Ross one. They had the Iron Spider from the Avengers movies.
Yeah.
And the Iron Spider from the comics.
They even included. Yeah, that's true.
And the Spider-Man armor from the comics, from the really crappy, famous Web of Spider-Man 100, the gray silver armor that everybody has like. Like you find copies of like holding up people's desks and stuff at school. Like there's 1,000 copies.
The negative suit. Oh man, there's so many.
$20.99
was one of them.
Right? Oh, a couple $20.99 suits.
Yeah.
All the Scarlet Spider suits. It's awesome. The story's amazing. There's levels you play as Mary Jane, which don't suck.
Right.
They give Mary Jane a lot to do, and she's probably the most
well-rounded character.
She's probably the most likable Mary Jane and Aunt May we've ever gotten.
Aunt May.
And Peter, the voice acting for Peter is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
So like if you finish a level, he'll call MJ on his headless cell phone. And so like if you just sit there, he has a totally normal conversation with Mary Jane. But if you start swinging around, you can hear exertion in his voice.
Yeah.
It's insane, the level of detail in this game. It's crazy.
That reminds me, J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he does a podcast or something, radio show.
It adds a lot.
It's so good. Because he's like a conspiracy theorist, and he's like fake news.
It's so great. He's like a Breitbart commentator.
Yes, it's
and
awesome.
And then you have, like, the DLC has, like, a...
And it makes you feel like what it would be like to be Spider-Man, because it's like you just had a hard-ass time beating Electro, and then J. Jonah Jameson's complaining about it. Just like,
there's some really great...
And you gotta go, like, get to Aunt May's place, and you have to, like, stop some robbers on the way.
You gotta fight, like, the Rhino and the Vulture, and meanwhile, like, the Feast Center's on fire across town. And, like, you gotta,
It perfect. Plays up all the great
it,
stuff
It plays
the
all
comics.
The Stanley-isms to, like, a great dramatic effect. The story features all like his best villains.
Yes, it does.
Including, they don't go to like Venom or anything yet, but they did go in a place that I wouldn't expect, and it works so well, and I'm so happy because it's like my favorite corner of Spider-Man that doesn't get enough love is like the crime family stuff. Mr. Negative and like Hammerhead and Tombstone and Silvermane and like the Black Cat. I just love
even
all
Taskmaster
that stuff.
Even Taskmaster has like a
dude,
small
Taskmaster's
role in this
game. Got some minigames. Screwball.
Yeah. Oh, that was weird. Yeah. And then that was cool. They updated.
You get to fight Electro and the Sandman. Not the Sandman. Electro and the Vulture and the Rhino and the Scorpion and Dr. Octopus.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so, the relationship between Peter and Otto is so cool. Levels later on, there's parts later on where like there's just crap in the air.
Yeah.
And so like it's always raining, like acid looking rain. Not like it's melting anything, but it's just like it looks shitty and polluted. Like the city, like the trees don't have leaves on them at that point.
Yeah.
And the detail is just tremendous.
Well, and it's based on like New York.
Yeah.
Like it's like actually New York. I had a friend post about it online. Like he was going to visit New York.
They did it to scale.
Like, no, they did.
Yeah.
And he didn't need to look at a map because he played the Spider-Man game so many times that he kind of knew where he was. He knew where he was going.
I'm in Central Park. I'm like 20 blocks west of here.
Yeah.
No, it really is a tremendous accomplishment. I don't know how. I mean, I could blow this game for like 2 hours. it's really great, and I really there's all these rumors about a sequel where you'd be able to play as both Spider-Man and Miles.
Well,
the rumor is that they're going to bring in Venom and Carnage for it,
and Green Goblin. I mean,
well, they've been teasing Norman Osborn. I think they're going to tease. I think they're going to keep pushing the Norman Osborn story until the third
game three. Yeah. Oh, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Hobgoblin, all that.
But see, they have a really,
the Sinister
really
Six.
Cool tease for Venom that is like, what the fuck?
It's a nice twist on, it's everything you want, but you don't
expect.
But
you didn't know you wanted it.
Yeah, you didn't know you wanted it.
You didn't know you wanted it, and as soon as they showed it,
I don't
like, that's
give
what
it
I always wanted.
I don't
like,
want to give it away, but it's something that hasn't happened
right,
in the comics as far as
we're
I know.
We're going to spoil it. We're going to give you a warning.
All right.
So, turn your radio, your whatever you're listening to this down, turn it down. When we hit the countdown here, turn it down for about 10 seconds because then we'll be done.
Yeah.
But in 3, 2, 1, Harry Osborn has been missing and he's infected with the fucking Venom symbiote. And oh my God, Harry Osborn's going to be Venom.
Yeah, that's a twist.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I love the fact that, like, oh my God, there's another spoiler. 3, 2, 1. Aunt May fucking dies.
Right.
And
I
it's
forgot.
Like the saddest thing ever.
It's so awful.
It's so sad. They never, here's the thing this game learned.
Because they built
they
up.
They never
to
stop shitting on Peter Parker.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Which is where we get all the best storylines from the comics. That's what's great about that character is they endures. No matter how
he
shitty
endures the unendurable smile on his face, until he gets to, like, when he's alone, and then he kind of has his breakdowns.
Like, but, he's got all these cool powers, but he also can't pay his bills, and he's
and because he's just him making this decision to put on this suit and save people's lives costs him every day, and not just like being in danger and getting hurt, but like relationships and jobs and opportunities and. Totally. A normal life and all these things that he really wants, but he knows, like, he feels he doesn't deserve because of what he let happen to his uncle.
Yeah. It's,
and the game, I mean, the game just, oh,
oh
my God.
It's such
a
good game.
I can't explain how
it's
much I love
such
it.
Such a good game.
I can't explain how much I love it. And I don't even hate those little stupid mini games you got to do in Doc Ock's lab. Where you
I love those.
I like those. Yeah. I thought those were cool.
Yeah, no.
But they reminded me at first of like the mini games in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Where if you played those, like, after two of them, you're ready to put your fist through the TV.
Yeah. So it's not just that it's a good game. It's not just that it's a good Spider-Man game. It's just, it's an
it's a great story. Yeah. And, there's all these rumors that there's another DLC potentially coming out, that heavily features the teasers for the Fantastic Four.
Oh,
like the Baxter Building.
Oh, that's
another
missing.
Thing about this game.
That's what
you can
missing.
Go to famous locations from the Marvel Universe and take, like, you have, like, your
the
phone.
Avengers Tower.
You can go to the top of Avengers Tower. You can go, like, Doctor Strange's house.
Selfie.
I found Murdoch and Nelson, Attorney at Law.
Yes.
I found Alias Investigations.
Yeah, it was like around the corner. It was like all the Defender stuff was
it's
all in there.
So fucking cool. I can't,
awesome.
Like, every time I played it, I'd find something where I'm like, oh, the Ghostbusters building is in the game?
No way.
Which is really in New York? The building is for
right.
Ghostbusters?
That's right.
The old fire station?
That's
in the game, and it's not the Ghostbusters house, but it looks, it's the exact same building, but if you go around to the back side of it, there's a ghost spray painted on the back of the building.
Oh, man,
like
that's
graffiti.
Awesome. That's awesome.
It's so cool.
That reminds me, though, one of the locations is a real location in New York, which is the Flatiron Building.
Yeah, that's where they use the Daily Bugle and all the
Sam Raimi movies, but they used it for something else in this one. I can't remember what it was. Do you remember? Oh, maybe it wasn't.
I think it's just a flat iron.
Oh, maybe it is. My bad.
I think, actually, you know what? I think it might be where the Daily Bugle is.
Oh, is that?
I think it might be. I don't remember. It's been, again, because some dickhead stole it from me. I don't really remember.
Yeah.
But,
You brought up the Fantastic Four building. Do you remember the PS1 Spider-Man game?
Oh, dude. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes.
That both of those, the first one and the Electro one, are so good. And, like, Stan's the narrator.
Yes.
And was it the first one that ends with, like, Carnage Doc Ock?
Yeah, and that had
dude,
been
that
done
scared
before.
The shit out of me. Yes. And it had, like, cameos from, like, the Black Cat and some X-Men.
Cap
and,
shows
Captain
up
America.
At one point.
Yeah.
That game
he had tons of villains.
Mind. Yeah. And one of my favorite
you got
things,
the skins. It was the first one you could
switch
costumes.
You had the amazing bag man.
Yeah. And they had the
it was so random.
They had the black suit, and that was the first one you could that's the first time I ever saw Spider-Man 2099 in a video game. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. As cool as that game was, one of my favorite things about that game was that they had all these little Easter eggs and collectibles.
Oh, yeah.
In the game, you got all the covers.
Yeah.
You're collecting comics.
Totally.
You're fucking collecting comics in a video game. That blew my
mind.
They
did that in the Amazing Spider-Man games. Yeah. But to
and it
far
was like
less,
really cool
to
titles
far less
too.
Effect.
And they would like have summaries of them. Dude. So it was like collecting those cards, those Marvel cards.
Yeah.
Do you remember those?
Dude, do I remember those? I have like
with,
six
like, the,
binders
with,
of
like,
them.
With like the powers and all
totally.
That.
Totally.
Like,
and then
like he showed up in issue 63 of, you know.
I think the coolest thing about it to me in retrospect was the fact that Stan was the narrator.
Yeah.
Welcome, true believers and newcomers alike. Spider-Man co-creator Stan Lee here. Once again, we find our hero, Peter Parker, better known around the world as the Amazing Spider-Man, in a heap of trouble. But this is just the beginning, Spidey fans. So get ready for a true superhero action thriller, packed to the brim with thrills and chills, twists and turns, more supervillains than you can shake a web at, and of course, nonstop web-slinging, wall-crawling action.
But they took some real big jumps with the story that were really cool, and, it was ahead of its time by a long shot.
Oh,
you look
definitely.
At it now and it's like, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But that's what the truth. Most PS1 games.
Yes.
But it was really, really sweet at the time. And there was another few ones that were really good too.
Yeah.
Like Shattered Dimensions was cool.
Yeah.
I didn't love that it was like a tracker. It wasn't open world.
Well, yeah, it wasn't open world.
Oh,
but...
dude, we mentioned it in the worst, but Spider-Man 2.
Yeah,
the
game,
the movie game.
That game was ahead of its time.
This PS4 Spider-Man
first open world game
is like they
it?
Took Spider-Man 2 and put it on steroids.
Yeah,
because that was like just a movie adaptation that they went like way above board with and made it really good.
It was really good.
And it was the first open world one because the first movie game was like on a track.
Yeah, it
and
was still good.
It
was a good game. Yeah.
It was fun.
But it deviated from the movie quite a bit. I remember.
And so did two. Well, no, two didn't a ton. Three.
Well, they
did.
Just added a lot.
Three made the game three. For three. Even though the game sucks, the story's a lot better than the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
It adds a lot, but more motivation.
Lizard is like you know.
Well,
it
adds
main...
a lot more motivation to Eddie Brock.
Yeah,
and to Sandman. It
that's
makes
true.
Sandman's actions in Act Three make sense.
Oh, true.
Eddie threatens his daughter's life, who they mentioned and never
wasn't
bring up again.
Wasn't Venom a bigger part in the game too?
Yeah,
like
he's a bigger threat.
Yeah.
Anyway, not talking about that, but there's been a lot of cool Spider-Man games. And I guess the point is there's been a lot of really cool Spider-Man games.
Yeah.
But this one is so far ahead of the rest.
PS4 one.
The Marvel Spider-Man for the PS4.
Yeah.
That I can't, I mean, it's so good that I literally can't find anything about it that I don't like.
It's definitely the best video game.
It's my favorite PS4 game.
The best.
Except except for maybe like Event Horizon.
It's one of my favorite games.
Not Event Horizon. Horizon Zero Dawn. I always say that.
Yeah, it's not only my favorite comic book video game. I think it's one of my favorite games.
It's one of my favorite video games, period.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's better than we deserve.
Yes.
You know? Like,
and we mentioned it at the beginning, but the Avengers game.
Oh, it could top it.
Could top it.
Yeah.
And
so
I really
crossed.
Have high hopes that, like, if the Spider-Man sequel does have the Fantastic Four and the Avengers game is as good as we think it is, then maybe they'll give us the X-Men game we've always wanted. And then maybe we can get like a Secret Wars or something like that.
Or
an
like
Infinity
a really
Gauntlet.
Good X-Men game with Spider-Man.
Or like all of the characters together. Give me like
just
a game
like
where we're like in the same
game,
level I can see like Spider-Man, The Thing, Wolverine, and like Ghost Rider or some shit like that. Like in the same game. Or like Daredevil and the Silver Surfer.
Yes.
Captain Britain. And I could go on for 5 hours. You all know this.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, any of that stuff I would be so happy with. But I mean, we're in a golden age.
We did forget to mention it. The Deadpool game.
I like the Deadpool game a lot. I also like the X-Men Origins Wolverine game. There's a lot of cool. There's a lot of cool games that I like.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't list them as like favorites.
Definitely an honorable mention, though. I think like because that was before the movie came out, right? The Deadpool movie.
Yeah. If it wasn't before, it was right after. But it was definitely made before the first movie came out.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
It's very much like in the vein of Deadpool, and it's got
Well, because it definitely what's that term?
Fourth wall breaking.
It definitely breaks that fourth wall, and it makes a lot of meta references with video games and all that.
It's kind of like Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yes.
And Deadpool crashed it.
Yeah.
It's a fun game, and it's I can't remember the guy's name, shocker, but it's he plays him in a lot of cartoons.
Yeah.
He plays Deadpool in a lot of cartoons.
Yeah,
and he's like the Penguin in the Arkham games.
Oh, okay.
And he's been in like Nolan North, I think is his name.
That's yeah.
And he plays Deadpool
guy,
in the game, and he does a tremendous job. He really does a great Deadpool.
Yeah, he sells it.
I mean, if you can't get Ryan Reynolds, get Nolan North to be Deadpool. Yeah. He knows how to do it. Definitely. He's in that Hulk versus thing. The animated movie, he's
Hulk
Deadpool.
First Wolverine?
Yeah, he's Deadpool in that.
Yeah,
like,
he's
hey,
a
that
choice.
Was my favorite.
Dude, that was one of the. That was definitely one of the best versions of Deadpool.
Totally.
Yeah, like he nailed it. He nailed it.
So, but, I mean,
sorry.
Look, there's, like we said, there's a shit ton of these games. We obviously, the list is a little incomplete because there's a lot we haven't played.
That's true.
However,
yeah.
The ones we haven't played, I had the feeling they'd only go on the worst list.
Yes.
Because I don't think Aquaman's breaking the top five anytime soon.
No.
Or Spawn or The Crow.
Yeah, there's a Crow game. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
City Angels?
I did know that at one point there was a Daredevil game being made to the point where I've got about 36 Marvel comic books that have an ad for a Daredevil game on the back, but it never happened.
Well, because the movie was so bad, right?
No, it's because like the company couldn't make the game work and then they went bankrupt.
Well, it sort of feels weird making a video game about a blind character. It seems kind of wrong, right?
I think that was the point. They couldn't figure out a mechanic that would make
that
it
would
work
like
for
make
their,
it
their liking.
Yeah.
And the technology maybe wasn't where it should have been for that game yet. I'm hoping we get a good one at some point.
That would be sweet. I would play the shit out of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So anyway, like, there's a lot of really great games. There's a lot of really bad games. Mm. These are our favorites. We're curious to hear what your favorites are, what your least favorites are. If you think our lists are full of shit, if you think they're great, drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you.
Definitely.
Eric, where else can they find you?
So I also do a podcast with Chris, Epic Fails of History, over at epicfails.com. That's epic with a K, E-P-I-K, fails.com, or epicfails.podbean.com. And once again, that's epic with a K. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for having me on, Chris, once again.
Oh, as always. Yeah, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate everybody listening. And we'll be back next time with something equally irreverent and ridiculous.
Awesome. See you then.
See ya!